The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, May 23rd show. I am your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I provide you the news on everything money, fresh information on market trends and conditions in our local economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast. I'm here to answer any questions or connect you with the guests I have in studio. Please call the show at 1-855-411-1150. Again, it's 1-855-411-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And my lineup for studio today, Michael Urbino with John L. Scott is here to discuss policy legislation advocacy and state of the new construction. So excited to hear what Michael has to share with us today. Also in studio, I have Justin Richards and Yvette Duby with Keller Williams Realty Bellevue here to share all the great things about Seattle. And last in studio, Ian Tolmie with Caring Transitions Seattle, Senior Relocation and Downsizing Services. Great information and great guests in studio. For more information on any of the topics that we're discussing today or any topics that you'd like to hear into the show, always love hearing from my listeners. Call into the show at 1-855-411-1150. Again, that's 1-855-411-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And as always, let's start out with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
Do you ever wonder how interest rates move, why they move, and what they're attached to? Today, I want to talk about mortgage interest rates. Mortgage interest rates follow the bond market. And before I want to talk about mortgage interest rates, I'll tell you, because it was a crazy week in the interest rate market with mortgage rates. Rates are still really low, but we saw a lot of adjustment in the market. It's a really good time to take advantage of these rates because they're not going to stay. The question is how long are they going to stay where they're at right now? Now, mortgage rates follow the bond market, and mortgage-backed securities are based on the Fannie Mae 30-year bond. Similar to corporate bonds, mortgage bonds trade all day, every day, and mortgage rates will follow it. Sometimes you can see multiple changes in the interest rate market, just like you can see changes in how the stock market's trading, you can the bond market. Now, in general, as the price of the mortgage-backed bonds changes, so do the interest rates. So this applies to conventional mortgage-backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bonds, FHA loans, VA, and USDA loans backed by Ginnie Mae mortgage bonds. The price of mortgage bonds was based on the supply and demand, and when Wall Street demands for mortgage bonds increases, all things equal, mortgage bond price rise. Mortgage rates move in the opposite direction from the mortgage bond prices. If trading higher, mortgage rates will go down. If the bond is trading, the mortgage bond is trading lower, mortgage rates go up. Again, directly tied to it, but that's why you're seeing opposite. Trading high is good, trading low, not so good. Demand for mortgage bonds can change for multiple reasons. The most common is risk avoidance. So because of most mortgage-backed bonds are guaranteed by the U.S. government, they're considered extra safe and unlikely to default. During periods of economic and political uncertainty, mortgage bonds tend to be in high demand, which leads mortgage rates lower. Now, the trading pattern is known as flight to quality, and it's fairly common one. With a weak economy, investors want the security of the bond market and then will pull out of the stock market to move into mortgage bonds. With a strong economy, investors will take more risk to see a higher return and invest in the stock market. So this is why usually they trade opposite of each other. So typically you'll see the stock market trading well, the bond market not so much, vice versa. Not all the time. If you look at the market at the end of the week, you saw the stock market and the bond market relatively pretty close. Also, rates are subject to adjustments, price adjustments made by the agency securing the bond. So generic names such as adjustments is loan level pricing adjustments. Now, loan level pricing adjustments are similar to the middleman fees, and these reflect the risk of an insuring a particular loan trait. So for an example, mortgage interest rates on a two-unit property would be higher than a single-family property. You could imagine it probably would be a higher risk if you had a duplex, threeplex, or a fourplex property versus single family. Investment property rates are higher than primary residence. And so typically, if there's something that's going on with your financial situation, you're going to take extra care of making sure that you're protecting the roof over your head, whereas the investment properties, those might be something that you would have to release. Credit score, obviously, if you have strong credit, you're going to be a less default than somebody that has challenging credit. Same thing with down payment. The lower down payment you have, the higher risk it's going to be, because more apt that you might walk away from that property if the market adjusts. Now, these factors are based, again, all on the fact of the statistics based on default. Now, things that don't control mortgage interest rates, aside from loan level pricing adjustments, there are no other direct forces on U.S. rates. So for an example, it's commonly said that today's rates is based on the path of the 10-year Treasury note. This is not true. It's another government-backed insurance, but its mortgage rates are not based on the 10-year bond, 10-year Treasury. They're based on the Fannie Mae 30-year bond. Now, over the course of years, mortgage rates on the 10-year Treasury note will track together on any given day. However, there have been plenty of days which the mortgage bonds and the Treasury notes are different. So you can see over the last 10 years, a 5 points difference, maybe only a half points difference. So it really depends. Now, the Fed Fund rate also is not linked to mortgage interest rates. The Fed Fund rate is an overnight interest rate which the banks borrow money from each other. It's an interest rate fixed by the Federal Reserve and used to speed up and slow down the U.S. economy. So the Fed's fund rate and the 30-year fixed rate have varied. Sometimes they're equal, sometimes they're different. But the Fed plans to slow down the economy, and that actually works. Mortgage rates are going to go down because the slower the economy means the stronger the bond market, and investments want the security of the bond market. Now, if the Fed's plan to slow down the economy does not work, the mortgage bonds market will be dropping in trading price because the investors instead are investing in the stock market for a higher return, and mortgage rates will go up. And lastly, mortgage rates are not governed by the Federal Reserve, any of its members, or any elected U.S. official. The actions of the nation's central bank can affect demand of the mortgage-backed bonds, but none can be set on home loan interest rates. So just a little bit of understanding of how the mortgage rates work. Again, just take a look at how the bond market is trading. If it's favorable, then that's going to be good for interest rates. Favorable meaning the bond market is trading at a higher price. If the bond market is dropping in trading price, not so good for interest rates, and you'll see those go up. A little bit of the money chat. Anytime that you want to talk about rates, anything regarding mortgage, again, give the call a show. I love talking to my listeners. 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50. And coming up next on the Money Hour, part of the National Association of Realtors, whose members are part of the largest trade association and one of the most powerful lobbying groups. Michael Urbano with John L. Scott right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Hi, this is Ian Tolmie with Caring Transitions Seattle. Caring Transitions is the nation's largest professional network of estate sale, online auction, household relocation services. Whether you're moving across the country, around the corner, or simply downsizing and decluttering your home, Caring Transitions will reduce your mess and eliminate your stress. We're experts and we'll do what's right for your family. Call us today at 206-330-0878 or find us online at Caring Transitions Seattle. Thank you.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, May 23rd show, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events in our local economy and how it can affect your money. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or always go online to themoneyhour.com with any questions or, more importantly, if you want to connect with any of the guests that I have in studio. Right now, I've got Michael Orbino with John L. Scott. Michael, I'm so happy to have you back in studio and just really excited about our conversation today. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Tina. It's always fun to be here with you.
And anybody that's listening, this is just really an exciting topic, talking about what's happening in protection for home ownership. And so that's really why Michael's in studio. And again, it's just going to be an exciting conversation with him. Little background about Michael: began his real estate career at John L. Scott downtown Bellevue office in 2002 as the youngest agent hired in the company's number one producing office, and is now the managing broker. He holds a number of Realtor designations. In 2009, Michael, co-founder of Relay with partner David Mills, as a division with John L. Scott that specializes in recruiting, training, and staffing new construction communities with only the highest quality salespeople. Additional service areas include experience in pro forma analyst, land development, product mix, marketing plans, and sales execution. Michael's has recently been featured on the cover of Washington Realtors magazine and contributed to articles in Wall Street Journal and the Seattle Times, among many others. Now, Michael remains actively involved in the industry level leadership by serving as the National Association of Realtors Federal Political Coordinator for the First District of Washington. He also serves on the board of directors for the Urban Land Institute, Younger Leaders Group, and the Seattle King County Realtors Governmental Affairs Committee. That is quite a list of just really powerful positions that you have, Michael. And I just want to mention that because you're doing so much to help our consumers and the community as far as everything that's going. So last, Michael's proudest achievement comes from serving 6 years in the United States Army Reserve as a finance soldier with 1 year active duty tours from Operations Noble Eagle and Iraqi Freedom. Thank you so much again for Michael, for being here. So let's go ahead and start out with, there's a lot of buzz around the mortgage interest deduction, and are we at risk of that going away, Michael?
Well, Tina, first of all, thank you for the kind introduction. I thought you were going to truncate that biography a little bit.
There's so much good stuff there. I couldn't bring it down.
As a fellow guest, I'm probably a little embarrassed by that. but, you know, mortgage interest deduction is obviously near and dear to realtors, and yeah, I'm sure mortgage professionals as well. So it's a topic that we are always have a hyper awareness of when there's a conversation around it. I think generally, our general feeling is no, it's not at risk. How it would be at risk is there's oftentimes in election cycles, there's a discussion of a flat tax.
Mm-hmm.
A flat tax, you know, I think to most reasonable people sounds like an exciting proposition because it basically says that X percentage of whatever we would all just pay, and it would be very simple and simplify the tax code. But what a lot of people I think don't appreciate or understand about a flat tax conversation is that the mortgage interest deduction is one of the largest deductions taken in the United States. It's also the single oldest deduction. It was the first on the books for any deduction. And it's something upwards of 73 million homeowners in this country use.
Yes.
And so that's why oftentimes with these election cycles, we tend to want to make sure that our legislators and our elected officials understand the importance of of the mortgage interest deduction.
Yeah, and I think the benefit of homeownership is always going to be out there, but it definitely strengthens it when you've got that interest deduction. And if they did take it away, obviously it would have some effect on the strength of our economy based on homeownership. Now, can you explain, Michael, to my listeners what GSE reform is and give us an update on that as well?
Sure. You know, GSE is a government-sponsored entity, and essentially they govern Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which is, you know, much closer to your industry than ours, mm-hmm. but obviously they're intertwined, and I think the realtors have such a powerful voice in Capitol Hill that oftentimes we are asked and tasked to carry that message.
Uh-huh.
Essentially, through the downturn, Fannie and Freddie both fell into conservatorship, which is essentially government control. These are no longer private entities. And so now that we're through that and the housing market's recovered, there's much discussion of how much liability for these mortgages should the federal government take on.
Okay.
In 2014, excuse me, I don't want to be wrong, so I'm going to give you the 2013 stats, 93% of all mortgages were underwritten by either Fannie, Freddie, FHA, or VA.
Makes sense.
And so there's a lot of people, no matter what your political leanings are, that think that 93% of all home loans being backed by the federal government is too hefty.
Yeah.
So part of that reform structure is how do we start to disengage the federal government from that policy and bring back private investors? And back to your point about the interest rates, that's much to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a single buyer of all your mortgages that is, you know, has the full faith and credit of the United States government, interest rates will stay low.
Yes.
Our concern with a rapid reform of the GSEs is that it would spike interest rates too much too fast. And so that's where that reform piece comes in. It's not just about who carries the liability, it's what
okay.
it does to the interest rate environment.
Makes total sense. So, Michael, what about the information that you have on FHA, and can you talk about FHA insurance premium?
Sure. Well, that was fun. It was fun. You know, I visit D.C. often because that's my work takes me out there to do this. You know, but actually had my first visit to the White House on Thursday. So,
exciting.
And had a chance. Thank you. And it was a pretty exciting
moment for me. So there's some benefits to all of the time commitment and the emotional commitment you put into these tasks that you take on.
There is.
Yes.
And, you know, for me, it's an honor to do it. And I'm proud to do it and represent the realtors and the homeowners in this. So, but specifically with that White House meeting, we had a meeting with the FHA director, deputy director, and talked specifically about that. Essentially, the reason for that rise in that insurance premium is FHA is mandated to keep a certain amount of reserve capital.
Yep.
And they needed to raise that somewhat dramatically. At least we felt like it was dramatic in order to cover that reserve. They have not met the reserve, but they're very near it. And so they've since lowered that insurance premium down substantially. Our major question for the FHA director is, and a lot of people don't know this, and I know well-educated and well-informed loan officers like yourself mm-hmm. are talking about this too, but I'm not convinced that every loan officer is talking about it, is the length of the mortgage insurance on your loan.
For the length of the loan.
Traditionally, yes. Mm-hmm. We've always understood it that once we hit a certain loan-to-value ratio that it would be taken care of and it would be mm-hmm. removed. Currently, as it exists, that was changed, I believe, almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it'll carry on for the life of your loan. Mm-hmm. And so that's our biggest interest with FHA right now, is going
okay.
back to having a system in place that once you obtain a certain amount of equity at your home that you would not be responsible for that insurance.
Yeah, before they, and it's probably it's less than 2 years, but time goes by so quick, it's mm-hmm. hard to keep up with it sometimes, but there was always a minimum 5-year hold requirement on FHA, regardless of what you paid down on it, and then it would release. So I just tell consumers, you know, it's just like you said, really having those reserves so that we can continue to lend on FHA, because FHA is the one that allows people to get in with challenging credit, mm-hmm. down payment assistance, and all of those great things. Now, with the lower, when they lowered it from the 1.35 to the 0.85, that was just another $30,000 increase in buying power if you're in that $300,000 to $350,000 range. So that was pretty cool. So what's happening in the USDA Rural Home Loan Program expansion?
Well, these are some exciting areas. I always call USDA the forgotten zero-down loan program.
It is.
it is something that the USDA administers, and it's very similar to the VA, in which we can get into. I'm a beneficiary of the VA and a user of the VA home loan. But just like the VA, the USDA will back these mortgages and guarantee them at zero down for certain populations. Mm-hmm. So essentially what they're trying to do is incentivize people to look at, you know, we can't all just live in the city, you know, and nor do all of us want to. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, small rural towns, farming communities, and it's not just what you would think of as a farm. It really, the USDA is applicable to, once you take King, Snohomish, and Pierce County out of the mix, and maybe some areas around Spokane, most of the state would qualify for USDA. And so even areas within Snohomish County, like Sultan, Gold Bar, mm-hmm. I believe that they're eligible in those ranges. Yeah. And the USDA actually also does direct lending as well, not just loan guarantees.
Yeah, so USDA increased their mortgage insurance as well, but they took it to where it's amortized over 30 years. So basically mm-hmm. you're just paying a little bit less every month mm-hmm. on that. Before I run out of time with you, Michael, because I could have you here for the entire show, I've got to ask you, what is the patent trolling, and how could this affect your community, the real estate professionals?
Sure. Patent trolling is an issue that's near and dear to our representatives, because we are one of the technology capitals of the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe arguably behind Silicon Valley, and, you know, and most would consider us the Silicon Valley of the Pacific Northwest. And so patent trolling is, a lot of our professionals are getting caught up in this, where they receive a letter from a law firm that essentially says, we have rights to patents that are included in your fax machine, in your copy machine, on your website. Your drop-down menu is using a patent that we bought. And if you pay us, we will go away. If not, there's going to be litigation filed and you will land in court. You know, the realtor's stance on this is we value intellectual property. We want mm-hmm. people, if people are violating patents. But the problem is the how it currently exists is you don't really have to give any explanation for why you're threatening somebody with a patent lawsuit.
Okay.
We are asking Congress to step in and basically say, because us as independent practitioners, mm-hmm. we're such easy targets.
Yeah.
And this is going on all over the United States. Realtors are paying $500, $800, thousands of dollars to just make these patent litigation lawsuits. It's essentially a low-grade extortion is our feeling on it. And so we just want law firms that are engaging in that to basically be able to back up. And it's something that's bigger than our industry. It's going on all over.
Yeah.
But we're scared of it because our members, like I said, as independent practitioners, are very susceptible to those kind of threats.
Michael, wrap up. I want you to give a call to action for my listeners out there. What they should be doing right now that you think is most important in helping.
Sure. I think for your listeners that are real estate professionals and the loan officers, I think have an awareness of what's going on. Don't take these things for granted. That's what I'm always surprised, that we just assume things will happen forever. We didn't get into things like the 1031 tax exchange is also on the chopping block, and that is reality. And so I would hope that they would be educated, and by being educated, then they can pass on that information to their clients and be a better practitioner. As for the individual homeowners and listeners out there, I just really hope that you continue to be engaged. And when you hear things like this, you know, write a letter. You'd be surprised, mm-hmm. You know, the power of individual voices and constituents. The elected officials want to hear from you. Their staff wants to understand your problems and your concerns. Mm-hmm. And so please be that voice. And because these are all things that it's so easy to take for granted, but when they're taken away, they would be devastating. Just I'll give you one quick statistic.
I mean,
we estimate if we lost the mortgage interest deduction, that all home values would be immediately depressed by 18% overnight.
Wow.
So, you know, these things are hinged together.
They're important.
And reasonable people can say, make movements, but it's the extreme shocks to the system that we don't want, and that's what we don't like.
Well, Michael, again, thank you so much for taking time to come into studio and for all that you do to help protect homeownership, protect our economy, your real estate community, because as a top professional, I know that there's not a lot of extra time to do extra things. So I just appreciate you so much, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And coming up next in the Money Hour, are you moving to the Seattle area? You will not want to miss my next guest in studio, Justin Richards and Yvette Adubi with Keller Williams Realty Bellevue, discussing everything Seattle right here on 1150 AM KKNW.
Every day, more than 1.4 million American lives are disrupted by Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. This year alone, 70,000 new cases will be diagnosed, and more of those are children. Nearly 75% of patients with Crohn's disease will require one or more surgeries at some point in their lives. Those are the facts, but they don't speak to the daily realities of living with Crohn's or colitis. Excruciating pain, a lifetime of medication, and days when they can't even get out of bed. There's a good chance you know someone suffering with Crohn's or colitis. Someone like me. I'm Amy Brenneman, and I'm asking you to support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. CCFA was created to help millions of us cope and to find cures. Visit ccfa.org today to learn more, donate, or join an event. It's time to face the facts and reach out to help someone you know at ccfa.org.
Hi, this is Ian Tolme with Caring Transitions Seattle. Caring Transitions is the nation's largest professional network of estate sale, online auction, household relocation services. Whether you're moving across the country, around the corner, or simply downsizing and decluttering your home, Caring Transitions will reduce your mess and eliminate your stress. We're experts and we'll do what's right for your family. Call us today at 206-330-0878 or find us online at Caring Transitions Seattle. Thank you.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, May 23rd show. It's a great day to talk money, and that's why I'm here to discuss everything regarding your money, how to make money, save money, and build a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, to talk with any of the guests that I have in studio, to make suggestions on topics or guests that you'd like to have into studio, call and to the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, 1-855-400-1150. In studio with me right now, Justin Richards and Yvette Duby with Keller Williams Realty Bell. Thanks you guys for coming back in again.
Thanks so much for having us, Tina.
Yeah,
thank you. We're going to take a little bit of a different spin because these are two industry leaders in the real estate market in our local market here. And we're going to talk about everything great about Seattle. And I'm sure there's going to be a few things that I'm actually going to learn because I don't get out enough in Seattle. So I'm excited. A little background. Let me start out with Justin. Justin was born and raised in Seattle, Washington. Justin has made his residential real estate marketing, acquisition, and resale his professional focus dating back to 2005, with more than 10 years in real estate and a proven system for client success. Justin and his team have built a prominent business practice guiding management and executive level clientele in the greater Puget Sound through the home selling and buying process. His background has allowed a unique and compelling insight into the real estate process, contracts negotiation, and overall community knowledge. Real estate is not a 9-to-5 job. It's a 24/7 round professional operation that Justin and his members of his team run at a very high level. And also Yvette Duby with Keller Williams, the two of them are partners on with their team with more than 12 years of corporate experience leading teams at Amazon.com. Yvette brings in integrity and analytical skills to the real estate arena. Her clients enjoy a smooth contract to close process because of her relentless attention to detail and her deep understanding of creativity in marketing deals that work for everyone. Her effectiveness starts by foregoing strong long-term relationships with clients, agents, and everyone involved in the real estate transaction. Yvette operates her own real estate investment business, and as a result, she understands the art of business of real estate from many angles. Again, excited to have both of you back into studio again and to talk about this fun topic on Seattle and all the great things. So let's start out with, if one of my listeners is moving to Seattle area, what is the first thing that they should be doing?
Well, the direction that we thought we ought to go with this was something that comes to us almost every day in our career, right? Is we have relocation clientele moving to this area, whether it be for work or family or retirement or whatever it happens to be. And the question always is, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we always advise our folks to do, whether it be with us and we actually go out with them, which is fun,
uh-huh.
is go be a tourist in your own town, right?
Yeah.
We have such an amazing, amazing city, or cities, actually, mm-hmm. all throughout the Puget Sound that offer so much culture and fun to do, especially if the weather cooperates, which
yeah.
is one of the next things we'll talk about. But also, it gives us a great opportunity to figure out where you want to go, where you want to call home
yeah.
before you actually settle your roots into town.
Exactly. When you're talking tours, I say the deck tour and the underground tour are pretty
right.
awesome.
And don't miss the Boeing field tour up in Payne Field. That's yeah. a great one, too.
Yeah. I know. I tell people the deck tour all the time, and every time they're like, gosh, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go on that deck tour. I make them go. They love it.
Yep.
Right.
It's fun.
So when someone asks you if it's really rains all the time in Seattle, what do you say to them?
Oh, man. Well, see, I'm born and bred here in Seattle. I love the weather here.
Mm-hmm.
I have had the opportunity to play and travel and go around, not only around the country, but also around the world. And of all the places that I've personally gone, I love the weather here the most,
mm-hmm.
right? This is home for us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even right now, it's beautiful outside.
Yes,
it's 75 degrees and it is mm-hmm. amazing. Like, if you give me this every day, I'll
yeah.
take it.
Yeah.
Right?
But I may fib a little bit and tell everybody that it rains all the time.
Well, I'm the same thing, Yvette, because it's kind of like our little secret here, right?
Secret. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to keep this weather to ourselves and not let the secret out.
Exactly.
It's sunny quite a bit.
When we get the nice weather and then the little rain comes in and it actually kind of breaks it up. And you appreciate it. The smell of the rain is
mm-hmm.
beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a little bit of that and the sun comes back. So it's a nice variety and a little bit of a surprise living here in Seattle.
Well, if you've ever flown into Seattle, which of course you have to do that to get here,
uh-huh.
but if you've ever flown into Seattle on a beautiful sunny day like today, as an example, you've never seen green like you see here.
Yes.
There is no place in the country or the world, at least that I've been to, that has the beauty that our area has.
Yes.
Right?
And all the hills.
That's right. That's uh-huh. right. So it's really neat.
Yeah. So what about your clients that are thinking about sport? Is Seattle a sporty city? Where do you advise your clients to go to watch the big game?
Oh, man. Well, they don't have Blue Friday for nothing. So, no, Seattle is passionate. Oh, my
yes.
gosh, they're passionate about sports. And so, you know, there's great places all throughout, not only the east side, so Bellevue, Kirkland,
uh-huh.
Issaquah, where you can have a great opportunity to go watch a game, whether it be football or soccer or baseball. One of the best venues, we have some of the best sporting venues to go watch the big game or
uh-huh.
games in the entire country, right? With Safeco Field
yes.
and CenturyLink. Maybe we'll get basketball back one day, but that's a whole different topic I can't talk about. So,
but for the folks who aren't into sports, say the women, there's
yes.
a good percentage of
yes.
us.
Mm-hmm.
The sport of marathon shopping is awesome in Seattle. We have all the anchor stores. We have many boutiques that
yeah.
are buried in all the communities,
uh-huh.
and it is truly a sport.
Yeah, that's right. That is awesome. It's so funny when you guys hear talking about, you know, I mean, the spirit of Seattle, and especially with the Hawks. And
mm-hmm.
my stepdaughter moved from Colorado to here in Seattle, and so we, you know, when we played against the Broncos, and she said when she came here, she says, "You guys, it was just embarrassing for me at home in comparison to how it felt in Seattle with mm-hmm. just how we all come together and get excited about our team." So very proud.
Yeah, you can't help catch the fever.
No.
Yeah.
I'll share one thing. When
uh-huh.
I had the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl back in New Jersey, and one of the things that was really amazing was traveling through the places that I went. I went through Denver. I traveled
uh-huh.
to Denver all decked out in my gear, and you get off the plane and there's more Seattle fans in Denver traveling to the Super Bowl than there were Denver fans going.
Unbelievable.
And it was really powerful to see that when we got to New York, New Jersey,
uh-huh.
to just see the blue everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? We travel really well.
Yes.
Right? And that still sticks to the home front here in Seattle, where you can go, again, circling back to, you know, where to watch the game, you can go anywhere.
Yes.
I mean, the great part about the people here in Washington is if you're a fan, they will welcome you into your home. They don't even
yes.
have to know you.
Yes. And if you're not a fan, we're still pretty nice to you.
That's true.
We're
yes.
very,
yes.
we're very, very nice people.
That's
so
right.
What about, let's talk about commuting. If you have clients that might be dealing with a little bit of commute to, let's just say, get a better opportunity for a home and affordability, what are your suggestions?
There are many different ways to commute around Seattle just besides driving solo. So we have the Metro bus route. We have the Sound Transit that goes, I believe, south. Mm-hmm. And the Link light rail is coming in too, which is going
very
to be
exciting.
Huge for us. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Link is really awesome. I used to live in Seattle, the Beacon Hill neighborhood. And so when I traveled out of town, I would just walk down the street from where I lived and I'd hop on the train and I'd go right to the airport.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do we not have this everywhere else? And sure enough, we're progressing to that, where it's expanding to the University of Washington and further north, and they're bringing it to the east side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's really amazing about our marketplace is the fact that our corporate infrastructure throughout the Puget Sound is truly so different than so many places around the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to get to these different things, I mean, we have great public transportation using the Sounder and the Metro and so on. But one of the things that's really great is we have a great biker community here as well, right?
Oh, you're right,
Redmond, Washington is the biking capital of the country, in fact, right? And so, well, maybe not everybody's favorite if you drive every day. It is something that is very common. You have great walkability, bikeability, throughout the Puget Sound, which is really neat.
Yeah, I had a whole show on walkability. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. So it's some great areas for that. What about education? With kids and school's really important. How do you help your clients in finding the resources, and where do they go to find out about schools and the best ones when making a decision of where they want to live?
Well, one of the things that this has become a bigger deal now to me as I'm a parent. Mm-hmm. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I'm learning the hard way that I apparently needed to get my daughter in school 2 years before she was born. And so what's been really interesting is to learn, where do I have to go to figure this out, right? And there are some very interesting websites, and I can't say that I've dedicated as much time as I probably should have, especially where I'm at now. But there are some tremendous websites out there, and again, going back to the corporate infrastructure and the people that those corporations are recruiting into the community, right?
Yes.
School is very important. Education is very important. Bellevue School District is one of the highest ranked school districts in the country, right? And you take into consideration the fact that you've got Lake Washington School District and Issaquah School District, which are all right here in the core of the city. They're all trying to play catch up, and they've done a tremendous job doing so. And so, coming from the Bellevue School District myself many, many years ago, there have been
not too many. You're a young guy.
I'm 30 years old, coming up on 31 right now.
A lot younger than me.
And so the changes that the district has made, districts I should say, have made is very impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. I wish that I sort of wish that I had grown up in where it is now.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Now, if somebody's listening to the show, they're visiting family or friends here in Seattle, and they're like, my gosh, I don't want to leave. I want to move here. What about employment? What's the employment opportunity? How are you educating on that?
Well, I think that Yvette has such a powerful corporate background that she's hired and fired and done the things that that you do. It's her secret.
She looks so sweet.
Of course, the idea is that if you're moving here, you already probably know where you're going. At least you have an offer potentially with a corporation. But if you don't, obviously there's great websites. There are great people to meet and network. There are networking venues throughout the Puget Sound that allow access into these corporations very regularly, easily.
It really is 6 degrees of separation, too, when we're meeting people out there. And they're like, who do you know that's looking for a software developer?
Yeah.
And you only have to put out one email, and all of a sudden you're helping somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that it truly is.
Yeah.
It's about networking, and who do you know?
It totally is. And you know, my stepdaughter, as I said, moved here, and it was a bet between her. You guys know the story. But anyways, not to go in a long story, he came here without a job, and he just got hired on at Amazon. Jimmy, congratulations. so it's awesome. I mean, and he really was trying to make a decision where he wanted to go. So, I mean, it's a lot of opportunities. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So gainfully employed, what about socialize?
Oh, you mean you've got to do something on Friday night?
You got to have a little bit of fun.
Well, the great part about I would say from the east side, I'm an east sider. I live in Issaquah, and I work in downtown Bellevue, but our market area, if you will, is really the Puget Sound as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. And so to that end, we've had great exposure finding these little hole-in-the-wall places or very public places to go and meet people. And if you're into if you're into dancing or if you're into concert venues or sports or just having a great beer or whatever that happens to be, you can go just about anywhere in the core of the city and find something that is appealing, right? There are great neighborhood places. South Lake Union right now is obviously a big one, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the biomed industry and software and so on has really blown that area up. And because of that, they've got great restaurants, great bars, great places to go and socialize and meet.
Yeah.
And of course, then you have access to Lake Union and so on, where you can do some really fun stuff as well.
Yeah. I got to take us to commercial, but very, very quickly, just one tip awesome about Seattle. Yvette?
One tip. Jeez, I'm such a foodie. The food here is awesome. Go out and try it all.
That's right. Yeah. Very, very diverse community in terms of your food. If anywhere on the West Coast that I've been, there's never been anything better than what I've found here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Can't get seafood like us, right?
That's right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. What a fun topic and a different spin with our real estate experts. But that really in being industry leaders in the real estate area, knowing our area and the benefits and really being able to give that information to your clients is really important. And always a pleasure to have you guys in studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tina. Tina.
Coming up next on the Money Hour, giving families peace of mind by managing all the details that go into senior relocation. Ian Tolmie with Caring Transition Seattle right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
Hi, this is Ian Tolmie with Caring Transition Seattle. Caring Transitions is the nation's largest professional network of estate sale, online auction, household relocation services. Whether you're moving across the country, around the corner, or simply downsizing and decluttering your home, Caring Transitions will reduce your mess and eliminate your stress. We're experts and we'll do what's right for your family. Call us today at 206-330-0878 or find us online at Caring Transition Seattle. Thank you.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. He weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His brain wasn't ready. At the hospital, the nurses said Daniel was a fighter, and they would do all they could to help him. The doctor said even with the best care, Daniel may never walk. He may never see. He may never learn. Daniel's parents spent night after night at the hospital, watching his every breath, holding his tiny hands, and looking for signs that he was growing stronger. At home, his parents looked around Daniel's empty nursery, at the quiet toys and the still rocker, and they hoped that one day they could sit in that rocking chair and tell this story to their very healthy son. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year, but there's hope for a happy ending. The March of Dimes is funding the research and programs to stop premature birth. You can help bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good. With a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm gonna let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, May 23rd show. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint 1 week and one show at a time. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call the show at 1-855-411-50 or go online to themoneyhour.com. Great guest every week in studio, and I'm always wanting to listen to what your suggestions are and needs are as far as anything regarding your money. Ian Tolmie with Caring Transitions Seattle is back in studio. Excited to talk with him about senior relocating and how to help our seniors and their families through this transition, because it can be a rough one if you're not prepared. Ian, thank you so much for coming back in studio.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
And a little bit of background for Ian. Ian is owner of Caring Transitions Seattle and is passionate about caring for seniors, and Caring Transitions Seattle is a direct result of his passion. He also has his partner, Jennifer, and Open Caring Transitions Seattle is a result of their own families going through the emotional stress and helping their own parents transition from large homes where they have lived for decades to a much smaller residence. Jennifer being 7 years experience as a licensed real estate agent in the Seattle area, and Ian is a certified aging in place specialist. Together, it's their goal to assist families in downsizing and liquidating of decades worth of assets, preparing for family residence for sale, and creating a smooth transition into new living space. And I think, Ian, in your arena and your topic, really it's about preparing, knowing what your options are, and getting things taken care of ahead of time. Because once you're in this time happens, sometimes it happens and you're not prepared for it, and it can be a disaster. And what a heartache for the senior as well as for the family that's trying to help and transition around that.
Absolutely. So often you'll have a family that isn't prepared, and no one wants to think about, you know, the uncertain things that can happen. Mm-hmm. And it's something that losing a loved one, losing a father, a spouse is something that no one, is ready for, but you can be prepared for it.
You definitely
and
can.
And it's something just like getting your financials in order, mm-hmm. and getting everything prepared, preparing what to do with all the assets you own.
Yes.
And it's something that inevitably, we're all going to have to move out of our house sometime.
Yes.
And, like my parents, they had a house they lived in for 3 decades, and they collected 3 decades worth of stuff. My stuff, my sister's stuff, their stuff. Fortunately, they had the luxury of being able to move in a pretty relaxed time frame.
Mm-hmm.
But it took my mom 2 years to downsize.
Yeah,
and so she had 2 years to do it. So mm-hmm. she was lucky. Now, the second time when my father passed away, it's going to be a little bit more rushed. And so having resources to be able to help her is key.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So the last time we talk here, what changes have happened with your company since the last time you visited me in studio?
Yeah, I think last time I was here, we actually just touched on, we were opening an office in the South Sound.
Yes.
And it's open, it's up and running, and we're getting clients down there. So that's fantastic. As well, we were also in the development stages of some new tools for our online auction sites. Those are going to be in beta here in the next month, and we'll be launching those as well. So that's kind of exciting as well. And complimentary to that is not just the online auction site, but the tools that help us get assets to the online auction site. So a suite of tools that are apps that are actually able to arm our sales force with going out and working with clients to be able to shoot products and get things onto the site more easily. So we're streamlining the whole process.
Yeah, streamlining is so important, and being able to take advantage of technology to do that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So if when you think about services that you provide, under what circumstances are you suggesting people to use the online auction over the physical estate sale?
There are a number of interesting opportunities for that, and one of them is if it's homeowners associations or condo associations, those sorts of things that don't allow a physical estate sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's frequently having an online auction is a great opportunity to be able to liquidate a lot of the assets. In addition, if you have certain collections and certain things that are going to be, you want a larger exposure, a larger audience to be able to see these types of collections, it's important. Because if you hold an estate sale, you're limited to the people who come through your house on that Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
That's your audience. With Caring Transitions Online, we have hundreds and thousands of different people viewing our sites every week.
Wow.
And so you have a lot of exposure to be able to ramp the cost of those products up instead of people negotiating you down.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
So then under what circumstances would you encourage a client to go with a physical estate sale?
There are certainly times when a physical estate sale makes all the sense in the world. Some of it is dependent on your geography, your neighborhood.
Okay.
It's also depending on the type of assets that you have in your home. And so if you have larger assets and furniture, or just you don't have as much stuff to be able to liquidate, and you're just trying to do more of a clean out. So you're trying to get things out of the house. And that's frequently, why real estate agents love us is the biggest asset within a family is frequently the home.
Yes.
And it's not the stuff that's in the home, it's the home.
Yeah.
And so really trying to get to selling that home is key. That's where the money really is. So those are times when we might actually do a physical estate sale or maybe a combination. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And I know that Caring Transitions has been around for a few years and you've had quite a bit of growth. And can you share that with my listeners and what contributes to that growth?
Yeah, you know, we're going into year number three and it's something that, you know, my wife and I really weren't sure what to expect. We knew that the demographic was good with the aging of America and the population, that sort of thing. We knew it was there. We've seen growth every single year.
And you knew you had the passion behind it.
And the passion behind it, exactly, because of what both Jeff and I had gone through with our parents. And so it's something that we knew that there was something exciting there. We knew we could help.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew there was a need.
Yes.
And so it's something that, you know, we've seen our business grow year after year. We've seen so many more repeat clients come through and that sort of thing. And it's interesting that we're getting more and more referrals. And recently, Jennifer had a client that came to her and the client received three referrals to Caring Transitions. And so that person reached out to four people and three of the people said, oh, call Caring Transitions.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
So we're getting a larger audience and better exposure.
So can you share what makes your company different for you guys than other estate and auction companies?
I touched on a little bit with the online auction tools,
yep.
I think
mm-hmm.
is very significant. But also we offer, you know, what I'll call a soup to nuts solution. And so it's really something that depending on what the needs of the family are and what the needs of the estate are, it's something that we can actually come in and we can do certain items, whether it's just a clean out or a move management or an online auction, or we can do something where we come in and we actually will consult with the family ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
We'll prepare an online auction. After the online auction, we'll do a physical estate sale. We'll do an entire clean out and get the house ready for sale. And then we can handle the move management side as well. So we help with packing and unpacking services, managing the move. So really what's happened is, you know, in getting us involved early, the families can use us to be able to manage the entire sale, liquidate the assets, clean the house, get it ready for sale, and then move the family into wherever they might be going, whether if it's a senior living facility or into a new home.
So Ian, how do you gauge that you're running your company the right way?
I think so much of it is feedback we get from our clients.
Yep.
It's referral business, which so much more of our business now, even compared to last year, is coming through repeat referrals. And and so it's real estate agents. It's a lot of organizations that are actually giving our name out. And so we know that we're doing it right because they continue to use us more and more and really rely on us. And another key thing is they used to be very wary about having us go into their clients without them being there. And a lot of our repeat clients are now calling us and saying, hey, you got to go talk to a client, you know, ABC or this client over there, that kind of stuff. And they're more than happy to let us go in and talk to their clients.
And it's not exciting with business. I mean, when
Absolutely.
You're, you know, and same thing in my industry and with our real estate experts here, you know, when you're introduced by somebody that's worked with you before, they trust what you're telling them instead of needing, you know, more information to get to the, you know, the place that you know that's best for them.
Trust is key.
Trust is key. So what about somebody that is listening, Ian, that just feels, you know what, I can kind of tackle this myself. I'm not going to, you know, spend the additional cost to bring an expert company like yourself to come in. Can you please share with them why that's not such a good idea?
Yeah. And I'll say, I guess not in all circumstances, it's not always a bad idea, I guess. It depends on the size and the scope of the project.
Okay.
But it really is something that frequently what we'll find is that families will get into it and you'll have siblings trying to work different parts of the sale, different parts the liquidation.
Mm-hmm.
One sibling's carrying the weight, one isn't. One is in out of town, one isn't. So family members, certain family members may end up doing more of the work, which can cause friction. In addition, it can take much, much longer. Look at my mom when she did hers, it took 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, again, she did it on her own and had the luxury of doing it on her own. But when it's something that needs to be done much more quickly, really just having the resources and assets to be able to do it is very difficult. It's challenging. Bringing us in, we can take care of it in a week and come in and really kind of make things happen. We have big, great teams that we work with constantly.
Yeah.
And so we know how to do it.
So we talk about the cost associated to having this done. So let's talk about how you're saving them money so ultimately it really costs them less.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we touched on a little bit earlier in that the biggest asset that the family may own may well be their investments, but also their home. And the key to success is really getting the home on the market and selling the home quickly. You don't want to have the carrying cost. You don't want to have the additional mortgage payments monthly, which can add up. And frequently, you know, additional mortgage payment could equal what you might make from a sale. And so really the key to success is trying to get the sale happening quickly. Use some of the online auction tools, because again, you're scaling the prices of your assets up instead of having them negotiated down.
Okay.
And getting the transition, you know, quickly done so the house is clean, so that real estate agent can then really get to focusing on selling the house. And then all of a sudden the family isn't carrying, you know, the monthly payments. They've unloaded the house, they've realized that money, and they can begin to use that for whatever they needed to, whether it's the continued move or wherever the family's going, or, or whatever they need to do with that kind of money. So
got it.
Yeah.
In all of our industries, there's challenges. I'd be interested to hear what the biggest challenge for you in helping in transitioning and relocating seniors.
Yeah, a lot of people would think it's just the physical stuff, because it frequently we'll go into something where we might deal with a hoarder, where you really, you go in and you roll your eyes back and you're, wow, you know, you look around and you think of all the stuff you have to deal with. But I would say that, you know, one of the most challenging things is the emotional factor. And so many times what we're going into is we're going into a family environment where someone's recently lost a loved one. And so I think one of our keys is that we have to be sensitive to that. And so we're also dealing with assets that, again, people have had for decades.
Yes.
And so they have an emotional tie to these things. And so you really have to understand, you know, what is it they want to do with the assets that they have? If they're really keen on selling it, being able to maximize the cost or what they want to sell it for. If they want to move it, help them move it to wherever it's going, whether it's going to one of their son, their daughter, whoever that might be, relatives, or going into a new home, but really helping them get it where it needs to be.
Yeah, well said, Ian.
Yeah.
So to wrap things up and my time with you today, I know a lot of your clients find you based on introductions from clients that have had amazing service with the two of you before. How else do people find you?
Yeah, you know, that's a great way. And the nice thing about that is there's a built-in trust already there. So that's a wonderful way to be able to find us. We're also doing some more marketing. You can come to our site at caringtransitions.com. And we're also, you know, we're meeting with more and more brokers and real estate agents to introduce ourselves to them so we can find, you know, again, that's a real source for us. Because we provide a great service that they don't want to be involved in. They want it done right, and they want it done efficiently, quickly, and then they can get on to selling the house. So those are frequently ways that clients will find us.
Perfect. Ian, thank you again for coming back in studio. Look forward to having the two of you. Next time we'll have to bring Jennifer back
in. I'll tell her that, yes.
Okay, I'll give her a call.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of my listeners out there. I appreciate the continued support of the show. This is your mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend in this beautiful area that we live in Seattle. And I will see you same place, same time, right here at 1150 AM KKNW. Have a great weekend.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.